The second day of the 22nd Annual New York State Child Abuse Prevention Conference is being held today at the Marriott Hotel in Albany. The meeting is organized by the not-for-profit group Prevent Child Abuse New York, now in its 37th year. Tim Hathaway is the executive director.
One of our big tasks is really to change the dialogue about the issue of child abuse, and really a lot of times that dialogue goes in one of two places. One, when people hear about child abuse, they have this angry response. How could somebody do that to a child? And I think that's really normal and natural. But that does tend to lead us to kind of a blame game. You know, was it parents' fault? Was it a social worker? And so we hope to shift that dialogue to a different place. And then the other common dialogue is this sense of hopelessness, right? So, wow, child abuse happens all the time. Seems like it just keeps going. There's nothing I can do about it. And again, that dialogue doesn't really help us. So where we to try and drive this conversation is to the point of that there is hope. There is something that can be done to prevent children from being harmed in a community. And so our office really is about that issue of how do we change the dialogue and focus on what's the hopeful scenario around preventing harm to children at the community level. And our office, and I'll just keep rolling with that, our office really is taking on three primary things across the state. The first one is this area of how do we create more public understanding of this issue and how we prevent it. So that really involves public campaigns, getting the word out, these kind of interviews where we're talking about the issue in public forums so that people understand a little bit more clearly what do we do about this and what does it mean to our community. The second thing that we're working on is really training professionals. So we know that if people are better equipped, if they have the right tools, if they have clear understanding of what needs to get done at a community level, then those professionals, those concerned citizens in a community really can have an impact. And then the third area that we focus is on policy, because we know that the state sets policies, communities set policies, school districts set policies. So we really want folks to understand that policies do have an impact on family, and they make a big difference. And whether it's policies about what happens in the workplace, you know, so if we build employment environments that are more friendly to families, that helps reduce risk for kids. And if we create school district policies that are more family friendly, then those are things that help families support families in ways that really can make a difference in terms of lowering risk to kids relative to maltreatment and being exposed to maltreatment.
How do you define child abuse? When we hear that word, we automatically, I believe most people think of physical abuse, but it goes beyond that, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there really are four major types of abuse. And the first one, physical abuse, you mentioned. If a child is in any way physically harmed, with intent, sometimes without intent too, that can be a child abuse case. Emotional abuse is something that is very real. When adults are intentionally shaming or belittling a child, those kind of things are very damaging to a child. And a lot of times we don't, you know, physically we think we'll see that abuse, we'll see a bruise or we'll see something. Emotional abuse, a lot of times we don't see it in terms of a mark on a child, but we see it in a lot of other ways. Their behavior tells us those stories about a child who's not feeling valued. Sexual abuse is a very real problem in our communities, and any time an adult is acting on a child in a sexual manner, then that's sexual abuse. A lot of times people think, well, that's got to be, you know, incest or intercourse of some kind, but really, if an adult is showing a child pornography or asking a child to touch them inappropriately, all of those kind of things encompass sexual abuse too and have to be addressed. And then the fourth place really is neglect. And neglect is sometimes a little harder to identify, but if a parent is intentionally withholding support, and that could be around the issue of education, it could be medical care, dental care, could be food, clothing, shelter, but really there's an intention there that's really important. New York state law does not allow neglect to be founded if it has to do with a family's access to resources. So just because a family is poor or can't buy certain things, that can't be a grounds for a child neglect charge. It has to be intent.
Tim Hathaway is Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse New York, which is holding its 22nd annual meeting at the Marriott Hotel in Albany.